Good morning and welcome to the conference call regarding Neoenergia's first quarter 2020 results. The presentation will be led by Mr. Mario Ruiz-Tagle, CEO of the company, and Mr. Leonardo Gadelha, CFO of Neoenergia. I should remind you that this audio conference is being broadcast simultaneously over the internet via webcast and can be accessed at ri.neoenergia.com, where the respective presentation is also available. At this time, all participants are connected only as listeners, and later we will begin the question and answer session when instructions for participants will be provided. The audio conference is being held in Portuguese with simultaneous translation into English. If you need assistance during the conference call, please press star zero for assistance. Additionally, this event is being recorded and will be later replayed and available on Neoenergia's investor relations website. This presentation was prepared by Neoenergia, aiming to indicate the general situation and the progress of Neoenergia's business. Although the information contained in this document was prepared with the necessary care and diligence, the information provided herein accurately reflects the moment the information was consolidated, reflecting Neoenergia's current conditions at its point and its points of view. Therefore, the information is subject to change. This presentation should be seen only together with the oral presentation made by Neoenergia and its financial statements. Neoenergia cannot be held liable for any loss directly or indirectly arising from the use of this presentation or its content. The presentation is a property of Neoenergia and should not be reproduced, distributed, or disclosed to third parties, or even used for any other purpose without prior written consent of Neoenergia. The company points out that this presentation may contain statements that represent expectations and projections of Neoenergia about future events. These expectations involve risks and uncertainties, and therefore there might be different results or consequences than those presented and anticipated hereby. I will now give the floor to Mr. Mario Ruiz-Tagle. You have the floor, sir. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much, operator. I would like to thank everyone for attending this conference call to present the results of the first quarter of the year 2020 of Neoenergia. At this very special moment for all of us, but life must go on. We are here today with Mrs. Solange Ribeiro, Deputy CEO, Leonardo Gadelha, CFO of Neoenergia, Eduardo Capelastegui, the Executive Director of Equity Control and Planning, and Renato Rocha, the CIRO of the company. I will begin with a presentation on how we are tackling the COVID-19 crisis. I will then move on to the main highlights of the results over the period. Leonardo will then make a detailed presentation of the consolidated earnings and by business segments. And we will then open for questions and final conclusion. The year 2020 began quite promising and had a shift in its trajectory with measures that were adopted to prevent the spread of COVID-19. This new scenario has proven to be extremely challenging to all, and it has not been different to Neoenergia. In the latest day of March, there have been impacts on the results we are going to present now on slide 4. We will discuss the actions that we have implemented in order to reinforce the safety of our personnel and our businesses in terms of our employees, our clients, suppliers, and civil society. We are aware we have a responsibility to provide essential services to society, and we are very proud of how our collaborators in the field have been facing the challenge to provide effective and quality service, observing the sanitary and safety measures that have been adopted. And so 34 million people can enjoy the comfort of receiving energy supply in their households. Similarly, we have adopted health measures in the workplace and construction side so that our operations and expansion projects are not actually affected. I would also like to congratulate our IT team, which has played a key role. And today we have 4,600 employees working remotely, almost 40% of our workforce at New Energia. In terms of our customers, this crisis has become an opportunity to accelerate our digital transformation project, particularly our digital connectivity project, which seeks to facilitate customer access to our services remotely and has allowed us to enhance the level of service we provide. We will soon reach 1 million customer service on WhatsApp, interactions on WhatsApp, since we launched this channel in late March as a result. We have created an exclusive service channel for hospitals and health centers, as well as strategic companies in the production of goods in our concession areas. And it's important to mention that we are working very closely with NAL, the regulator, and the government to design urgent solutions for our industry that will ensure the liquidity and financial soundness of our concessionaires and distributors without necessarily generating higher tariffs for consumers, and also seeking to restore financial economic balance in our distributors. We are convinced that Brazil has a sound regulatory framework for the electricity sector, which has been tested and has therefore be guaranteed by the legislation that will have the financial balance to address the current scenario. Our distributors are the gateway for the results and equity of the electricity sector. We have always shown confidence in the capability of government agents and regulatory agencies to find solutions that will help us overcome this crisis. The electricity sector plays a key role in the recovery of economic activity and will need support to overcome these extraordinary circumstances. In terms of our suppliers, we have closely monitored the health status of our third parties, our contractors, and also the financial situation of our partners. We have also proactively sought to anticipate the equipments that we have been receiving and which are critical to our processes to avoid any possible future bottlenecks we might have due to the pandemic. And as a signal to strengthen our commitment towards suppliers, we are anticipating the decisions that we have planned for the second half of 2020 and early 2021. And similarly, Neonergia has also collaborated with various social activities by supporting several institutions, among which we highlight Transforma Brazil, which together with our volunteers will deliver basic food baskets and hygiene kits to 125,000 families. And we have also donated, together with other corporations, 1.5 million reals and 100,000 rapid tests for detecting COVID-19. We have also, through the energy efficiency program, have donated refrigeration equipment to 5 hospitals in Bahia and Pernambuco. We're also working to take similar actions in Rio Grande do Norte and São Paulo states. Managing this crisis requires common sense and responsibility. Crisis will always bring about an opportunity for improvement, and we're going to seize these opportunities at Neoenergia. And now, on slide 6, we have the highlights for the results of the first quarter 2020. Driven by a larger customer base, we have over 244,000 new consumers, which correspond to a 1.8% growth compared to the first quarter in 2019. Positive effects of the annual readjustments and tariff reviews of Electro last year, and a sound performance of the liberalized segment. We have Termo Pernambuco and Neoenergia Trader. We had a growth of 11.3% in gross margin compared to the first quarter in 2019. We remain firm with our cost discipline and seeking to become more efficient. Day by day, we deliver a level of operating expenses that is 2% below that of the last period in 2019, absorbing the period, the inflation of the period with a larger number of employees through the primarization process in our distributors and by serving a growing number of customers. Our EBITDA, in turn, has reached 1.5 billion reais in the first quarter of 2020, with a 14% growth when compared to the same period in 2019, whereas the net income has amounted to 577 million reais, 17% higher than the first quarter 2019. These results indicate once again how solid our growth strategy is and how we can create value to our shareholders more than ever before. Considering the current scenario, we are strongly focusing on liquidity and cash, and this has allowed us to take one more step further towards leveraging, reducing from 3x the net debt EBITDA ratio in 2019 to 2.98x by the end of the first quarter 2020. Finally, we have executed a CapEx of 964.5 million reais in the first quarter this year, 9.8% more than in the same period last year. Moving on to slide seven, we can see an evolution of our transmission project. I would like to highlight that progress of projects remains within budget and with good prospects for anticipating the deadlines set out in the business plan, thus guaranteeing the expected returns. In relation to the April 2017 lots, we have proceeded with the lifting of towers and launching of cables for Lot 4, anticipating our business plan. Lots 20 and 27, as reported during the quarter, were delivered before the deadline upfront, and CapEx was below that provided by ANEEL. As for Lot 22, we will soon announce its entry in operation. In relation to Lot 4, December 2017, we have awarded the substation equipment and have already renewed the IBAMA installation license for the lines and substations that were owned by Abengoa and that will be used in the execution of this project. The construction, Taboca and Elecnor, are working on the construction of this lot, and it has an important perspective to also anticipate the business plan. Lot 6, in the same auction, has already obtained installation licenses, and according to our expectations, it should also come ahead of the schedule, the business plan. Tabocas is working on the construction of the lot, and the mobilization construction was started in March, anticipating our schedule by a few months. The December 2018 lots, I would highlight the delivery of basic projects for all the ANEEL lots 3 months ahead of the schedule, which has allowed us to obtain the DUPs for all lots, as well as the installation licenses for the substations. In 2019, the substations, well, constructions began. The projects for the last auction have already obtained 70% of the CapEx. And I should also mention Lot 9, which comprises two substations and 210 kilometers of line. And the estimated annual CapEx is R$3 million and located in Bahia and has strategic relevance for Coelba. In this lot, we have already hired State Towers contractor to begin the civil works. We have been asked many questions about the possible impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic and the execution of our projects. Transmission projects will continue, and they will be not compromised in their return rates. We are not exposed to bottlenecks of any sort, and as I've mentioned, we are closely monitoring our partner contractors in terms of the execution of the projects and also following our suppliers closely in terms of the equipment delivery. I should also point out we have implemented sanitary measures in all of our construction sites and have been agile in cases where isolated municipalities have prohibited non-essential economic activities, thus reducing activities on our construction sites. We have almost 2,000 people working in the implementation of our projects without any COVID-19 cases, official cases. And now on slide 8, we will review the status of our wind projects. I would also like to mention that the implementation works of our 15 wind farms in Paraíba and the Chafariz complex are going ahead, and we are therefore also ahead of our business plan. This wind farm will add 471,000.2 megawatts, has 98% of our CapEx already awarded, and contractors are already working. Iberobras and DOIS are contractors with great experience in building wind farms. We have 600 people working in the construction sites, advancing with excavations and also foundations, laying the foundations. The wind farms are expected to begin operating in January 2022, reinforcing our commitment to battling climate change. In 2019, we approved the construction of 12 wind farms in the Oitis complex, which will start operating in mid-2022 with 566.5 megawatts, and which will have 96% of their energy dedicated to commercialization, to trading in the liberalized market, aiming to serve final consumer, thus ensuring Neoenergia's participation in the liberalization movement of the Brazilian energy market. It is with great satisfaction that we have GE as a supplier of turbines with a GE158 model, a 5.5-megawatt turbine. It is top quality for the Oitis complex. Moreover, it is worth mentioning that part of the project funding is with the European Investment Bank, with 250 million euros, with the entry into operation of the Oitis and Chafariz wind farms. Neoenergia Group will have half of its wind energy destined to the free market, from which 29.8% has already been traded between 2022 and 2024, at average prices of 190 reais per megawatt. Implementation of the wind farms continues within the schedule and within the budget contemplated in our business plan. We do not have any bottlenecks with the return rates caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. I will now give the floor to our CFO, Leonardo Gadelha, who will provide more details on our results for the first quarter of 2020.
Thank you, Mario. Good morning to all. Moving on to slide 10. Despite the stable demand this quarter, our gross margin grew 11.3%, reaching 2.4 billion for the quarter. This was driven mainly by the growing customer base, the electro tariff review, and in August, the readjustment of the remaining distributors and a higher generation rate in Termo Pernambuco. Considering the 2.3, we have the ANDR and the IFRS 15 effect. When comparing the quarters, you have an offset because the ANDR presented a reduction of 56 million quarter-over-quarter because it had a smaller ratio, and the IFRS had a 61 million increase. It's a 5 million difference or match between quarters, quarter-over-quarter. On the right-hand side of the slide, we have the cost. Looking at consolidated costs, highlights in the quarter with a strong performance, as we will see in the upcoming slides, with a 2% reduction. Still, despite our goal to absorb the effects of the inflation and growth of our customer base, So this has been our target, and in this quarter particularly, we were far beyond the target. So we have attained results and reached our target despite the primarization of electricians and with 150 employees that have been added to the Neoenergia group. As we can see, this growth has been offset, more than offset, by savings in other lines, especially contractor services. On slide 11, we have on the right-hand side the EBITDA that we have been reporting. Full EBITDA, which comprises the VNR and IFRS 16 effects, reaching 1.525 billion in the first quarter, a 14% growth compared to the first quarter in 20. Right-hand side, we are presenting for the first time the EBITDA without the VNR, without the IFRS 16. With combined effects that I've mentioned, 167 million the first quarter with VNR and IFRS total. And in the first quarter 2021, 353. With the non-cash effects, the EBITDA growth is 15.7%, therefore slightly above what is reported in our complete EBITDA, full EBITDA. And still on this slide 11, we see that from the EBITDA, 87% was generated by networks, the network business, the 1.5 billion, 6.4% from renewables and 6% from liberalized market. And our income reached R$37 in the quarter with a 17.3% growth compared to the same quarter in 2019. Net income on slide 12. We have the details on CapEx. We have by the end of the quarter, R$964 million, and it's mostly concentrated in network segment with 94% share, and also from the 94%, R$607 million distribution, including CapEx for network expansion, asset renewal, network quality, loss combat actions, and R$235 in transmission line construction. Renewables investments, well, totaled R$40 million, from which R$5 million in hydropower plants, CapEx for maintenance, because there are no hydropower plants in construction, and R$35 million in wind power projects under implementation, mainly with the Chafariz construction site, Paraíba. Finally, in the liberalized segment, we've invested R$20 million, mainly with the anticipation of equipment acquisition for maintenance for Termopernambuco in June and July this year. And well, considering the current scenario, the current situation, we actually anticipated R$20 million CapEx for maintenance that will happen later this year. And now looking at the different business segments on slide 14, we have the injected energy evolution in our four distributors. This is not new data. We had disclosed this information a few days ago to the market, so we observed that overall in this quarter, we did not have the robust growth that we have had historically, and for two main reasons. First, because first quarter 2019 was a very strong quarter because of the very warm climate, warm weather last year. And the first quarter of 2020, well, was not a very hot weather, and it was a very rainy season, especially in the region where Coelba is located, and that actually explains this difference. Mario has also pointed out that starting March 20, of course, we observed the clear effect of the pandemic of COVID-19 impacting our distributors. And with this in mind, well, I'll move on now to slide 15, where we have data that we would like to share, breaking down the behavior of our distributors until, well, the onset of the pandemic and after the pandemic. So we have March 20 as the cutoff date. The case of Cuelba, we observed that between January 1st, March 20, we had a slight decline in the injected energy of 1.4% compared to the same period last year. And this decline is explained, as I mentioned, to the comparison with 2019. Hot, dry climate in the first quarter of 2019 and after the announcements occurred in around the March 20 with the COVID-19 and the shutdowns, the scenario changed clearly. And over the days, the steeper decline in injected energy, -7% compared to the same period, March 2019. And still in Coelba, to the far right, we see a comparison for March, last 10 days with the average 10 first days of March. And there's a steeper decline of -13% Coelba. And the other, the discos had a similar behavior. SLP, well, had a higher growth and therefore the decline was steeper, was stronger. And then in March, it went up, the same for Kazern. And Electro had a slightly positive performance in injected energy, and that, of course, changed over the last days, on the last days of March as a result of the pandemic, with the onset of the pandemic here on around March 20. So here is the inter-quarter, so to speak, that we deemed important to share with all of you. On slide 16, we have overview of distributed energy with a 0.3% decline in the quarter compared to the first quarter. In here, same factors come into play. As Mario mentioned, we have a growing customer base, 244,000, with 14.1% consumers. And also in injected energy, we were impacted, of course, by the first quarter 2019 and the last days of March with COVID-19 distributed energy in the quarter. Considering the free and captive market, as we can see at bottom left, we have 35% of the energy demand came from household residential, which stands for 88% of our consumers. Therefore, we have more exposure than average to the residential segment. On the next slide, we have on slide 17, losses, total losses, 12 months, and we had a good performance in the quarter in terms of losses. Two of our distributors were remained within the regulatory limits, Kazern and Electro. So they were within the regulatory limits, and they remained within the regulatory limits over the quarter. In the case of Coelba, although it is outside the regulatory limit, it was under the impact of the rainfall. We had rainy quarter, which explained why we had to display some of our team to specific sites. We also had improvement in the losses at Coelba in the fourth, comparing the first quarter to the first quarter. Now there is a slight decline. We do not see the figures here, but it's 1529 versus 1523. So a slight improvement at Coelba. And at CELPE continues to be our key challenge when it comes to fighting losses, addressing losses with a slight decline in the first quarter, 1734. And we are, of course, still focusing on tackling losses and have initiatives in place, actions in place to better manage this index, this rate. On slide 18 now, this is a new slide that we have included in the presentation. It is, of course, it's always been included in the release, but is about our loan loss provision, PCLD in Portuguese. So looking at last year, we have a 12-month overview, and starting in the third quarter last year, we adopted a more conservative position in terms of provisioning, seeking to, of course, enhance our provision levels in our distributors, especially starting in the third quarter when we began to review our methodology and our standardization process. We have adopted the same methodology across all of our distribution companies. And you can see Coelba and Cosern are within the regulatory limits, continue to be, and CELPE and Elektro are not within the regulatory limits. And far right, we see how we closed the first quarter 2020. And as a coincidence, that we have the same figures of fourth quarter in 2019, 108 million. This is the provision we had, the loan loss provision for the quarter, the CLD. And it's also important to mention that considering this is the criteria, the conservative criterion that we have adopted as a result of the growing number of overdue installments or payments caused by the pandemic. And we believe also that the communication at the time was not clear. Some places were shutting down, and there were, of course, traders that had challenges with making payments. Therefore, we decided to enter this provision in this quarter. We have a 19.7 billion provision for the four distribution companies, more concentrated at CELPE, as we can see broken down on the right side. But this was conservative, looking at late March. So we've closed with the same levels as fourth quarter in 2019. And moving on to slide 20, or 19 rather, we have the quality indicators for SAIDI, AIDI, hours availability with very good results despite the rainfall, and which of course produced worse results for Coelba, but still we're far below the regulatory limits, and it's the same for all the other distribution companies that are within the regulatory limits. On slide 20, we see the SAIFI. We have also improved these results in the four distribution companies. And I should highlight that we have improved the quality index and our performance as well as cost as a result of the process review, standardization in terms of cost reduction and operating standards. On the next slide, we have results, the impact of the performance on our gross margin with a 10% growth quarter-over-quarter, once again driven by the electro reviews and tariff reviews and by the customer base growth. Even though we did higher volumes. And once again, we had the R effect and the IFRS 15 effect of VNR was 71 million in the first quarter 2020 and 127 in the first quarter 2019. The reduction I mentioned earlier was a result of the inflation, and IFRS 15 had an increase of 40 million in the first quarter 19 to 101 million in the first quarter 2020. So there's also an offset effect here with a delta of R5 million, an increase the first quarter 2020. The non-cash effect is R5 million. And still on the slide, we are still focusing on the primarization process for operational activities and once again offsetting these results in our other line services and replacing contractors by our own employees. An excellent performance in the first quarter with a 5.2% reduction in operational expenses compared to the first quarter. So we went far beyond, you know, the inflation, absorbing the inflation and the growth in customer base. And these are two important factors and still had a 5.2% expense reduction compared to the first quarter in 2019. And our goal is to continue, of course, growing below the inflation. But this was a particularly positive quarter. On the next slide, slide 22, we have EBITDA in terms of what has been reported of 15.4% growth, excluding the without the VNR and IFRS effects. We have a higher growth still because the delta totals R5 million, the smaller base. There is a 17.4% growth actually in EBITDA, despite having the volume that I presented earlier. And net income also grew 28% in network with R28 million by the end of the first quarter. Now on slide 24, I will talk about the result analysis in renewables segment, where we had a decline in EBITDA to R99 million in the first quarter 20. Here we look at the EBITDA, looking at hydros and wind. Wind first quarter had a negative impact and 25% because of winds compared to the first quarter, despite having availability beyond 97% as programmed. And in turn, the results of the hydros had a negative impact with Belo Monte. The first Q 19, we had a positive impact on our base from the deferred tax of R17 million. The deferred tax, well, gave an impact result. And in quarter, you know, part of the Belo Monte energy is not contracted. So we had sell the energy in the free market with the North PLD, with lower available prices. And the estimated impact was R10 million the first quarter. This difference in hydros can be explained by the Belo Monte effect, therefore, but the other hydros had good performance in the quarter. Our net income was 5 million reals in this quarter. So a decline caused by the factors that I have just explained. On slide 26 now, we'll cover a liberalized segment results with an impressive increase of 135% in EBITDA, R$92 million in the first quarter, also driven by Termo Pernambuco, which had a higher generation volume in the first quarter, and the performance of our trader with negative results in the first quarter in 2019. But starting in the second quarter last year, 2019, it adjusted it's a commercial approach aiming at the end customer. Therefore, we see this variation EBITDA of $5 million in Termo Pernambuco and $48 million in our trader, MC, Neoenergia trader, and the $53 million difference in EBITDA. Therefore, net income went up from $13 million to $39 million reals, 200% growth in the quarter. And now we'll see our capital structure on slide 28. We have actually shared this slide on a regular basis, how we closed the quarter and the leverage reduction trajectory we had with 2.98, closing at 2.98, and the trend going forward is to have growing CapEx in projects, especially transmission. Leveraging will reach a tipping point and then will go up. We closed the quarter in very good shape. And thanks to the liability management efforts, we have gradually reduced costs and increased the average maturity of our debts, which are more than 4 years now. We go beyond 4 years. Costs went from 6.4% down to 6.3%. That's the average cost of our debt, the main rate, and our balance is robust. It's comfortable with 17% of our short-term debts only. I would also point out that we closed the quarter with a cash position of above $4.6 billion, almost $4.7 billion. And if we add up the lines we have today, the loans we have taken that can be disbursed, we will total almost $11 billion in total availability. And these are loans from investment banks like the BNDES, BND, BPI, IDH. And this is, we are now, yes, making disbursements in these lines, and this is a very comfortable liquidity process. And at the bottom, in terms of debt amortization schedule, since we're also increasing maturity in terms of principal and interest, we have $3.3 billion. And this is what we have in terms of principal and interest debts. And I will also mention the standstill of the BNDES investment bank, which will also bring this down even further in 2020. So we have diversified debt portfolio with different funding sources, as we see on the bottom left side. On slide 29 now, we have also included this new slide in the presentation. We have an overview of our projects and how we're doing in terms of contracted funding, securing contracted funding for transmission and wind renewable projects. And we have also made progress last year with secured funding for most of projects under favorable conditions in terms of deadline, maturity, and costs. I will not break down, but we see the wide diversification projects. In cases, we have the debentures that we captured for GIA last year, were used to fund the equity, so to speak, of these projects. In the April 17 auction, we had an important leverage since the actual equity amounted to 5%, because here we look at the debenture that we obtained at Neoenergia, and many of the businesses now have actually resumed profit. So it doesn't make any sense to fund the FTE. Now we're focused on projects for December 18, and some of the lines we're looking, of course, at investment banks, BNDES. We depend on the ILI to obtain funding. And renewables, I would also mention, as Mario earlier, that in Chafariz, we have a 55% of our funding with this combination of Neoenergia, 60%. BNDES last year has already disbursed DNB funding, and we're now going to progress with the project. And OATs, we have already funding from EIB. It is secured by 2021, and therefore, we're also considering to disburse these funds this year, now 2020, through Neoenergia. And of course, you have to have the project in place, and this would be a Neoenergia, under Neoenergia. And to close on slide 30, we have our cash management. Yes, we have been focusing strongly on cash since the onset of the crisis. The actions that we have already taken in seeking to preserve cash. Well, I could mention the standstill of the BNDES. The BNDES is offering our industry and also all of the businesses that it funds, it is actually offering a standstill of and lower cash disbursements companies without costs, and we have adhered to that, and this will represent a reduction of 400 going to 3 billion, therefore. And we also have the sectorial funds that have been released by the regulatory agency, ANEEL, with our four distribution companies. That amounts to 240 million reais. PIS/COFINS taxes and other charges and taxes. Well, in our case, particularly, there's a temporary postponement in the year, 340 million reais. The second quarter, this will be postponed to the second quarter. And also interest on equity and for distribution. We have postponed distribution payments to December, reserve our cash, our distribution company. And finally, in terms of funding, by April this year, we disbursed 2.2 billion in credit lines. From 2.2 billion, 1 billion was for distribution companies, was assigned to distribution companies as working capital for recurring activities. And we actually took this action before the crisis under favorable conditions. And 1.2 billion were assigned to transmission and wind projects. And we will continue focusing on these actions. And now I would like to open for questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take questions and open the Q&A. Please press star one to ask a question. To remove your question from the list, press star two.
The first question is from Carolina Carneiro, Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for this call. I'd like to ask two questions. First, you mentioned earlier on, and also in the release, that for the time being, you have not actually, you cannot assess the full impact of COVID-19 on businesses. Of course, as we've seen in March, the volumes had a decline or negative levels, and maybe you could comment what you have observed in terms of volumes and year to date, more or less 1 month of sampling, and also in terms of delinquency. We have read that a delinquency could reach 20% or maybe a decline in settlements. So could you please comment on what you have observed on your viewpoint, and if what Abrasce has disclosed, the figures Abrasce has disclosed, is in line with what you are forecasting?
Carolina, would you like to ask both questions?
Yeah, certainly. The second question has to do with personnel costs and costs. You said you had a primarization of 800 employees, and throughout the release, there was one single comment about non-recurring, which impacted the holding. Just to make sure, the PMSO figures, the loan loss provision, the PMSO did not include any other non-recurring besides the 25 million that maybe you did not mention, and which other measures for primarization were implemented in this quarter?
Thank you, Carolina, for your questions. Well, let me give you an overview, and I'll then turn it over to Eduardo Capelastegui for more details. As for the impacts of COVID-19, in fact, the first quarter, well, there were 10 days where we had really the shutdowns, and the federal government and municipal governments actually enacted executive orders for shutdowns and staying home, and you have malls and retailers had to shut down, and therefore the impacts were stronger over that period and remained over the month of April, but now it has been relaxing in terms of declining consumption and payments. And now with Eduardo Capelastegui.
Hello, Carolina. How are you? As Mario mentioned, still answering your question on COVID-19. On the last 10 days of March and 10 first days of April, we have been under the impact in terms of demand and collection. In terms of demand, we are at a 12% level, considering our four distribution companies. Some are three, some 11 or nine, but in average, the injected energy has dropped 12%. In terms of collection, that's more volatile, but we're looking at the 30-day sample. So, 30-day period, we might have a more stable overview, maybe at around 12%. So you have an offset here. First, a decline, a 12% decline, and then the other 12%. So, in total, we're looking at 24% in terms of market and collection decline. I should also mention that, yes, we will continue observing the market behavior. The last days of March, late March, did a little bit worse, and now we expect for collection through credit cards to come back and to increase again. and the measures, the government measures to support low-income brackets will be very helpful because NIO has increased the limit to 220 kilowatts per hour, which will tackle delinquency and will be very positive for us. But we have to wait a few more weeks and see. This is, yes, we will keep a close eye to the scenario going forward. In relation to your second question, as mentioned in the release, in the first quarter, we had two non-recurring events, extraordinary events, and we had one which was positive, one was negative. The two are arbitrations with the Neo Energia holding plus 50 million. And so when you look at networks, you don't have recurring networks in the quarter because we have the holdings and we had a review of 5% in OPEX compared to the first quarter in 19. And mainly, well, the main reason being the different operating model that was adopted in the distribution companies. The primarization is very successful, producing positive results, and insourcing primarization and the operation has also produced more quality results. We won't have to spend as much with network maintenance in terms of safety and security. We're also doing better and we have an overall improvement of the operation, and distribution companies are grateful for that. And OPEX actually indicates this important efficiency gain in networks. We have no non-recurrent results. 5% here is looking at what was attained in the quarter. Thank you very much. Our next question is from Kaique Vasconcelos, Bank Safra. Good morning to all. Thank you for this release. I would like to, along the lines of the previous questions, I'd like to ask, you mentioned there was a minor impact, 10 days, that you have a conservative outlook here. I would ask you how you think the market will behave during the pandemic. Maybe you can give us an estimate of the duration of how long it'll take to for things to get back to normal. And if I may ask a second question, for distribution companies, may COVID-19 impact the construction of the sites in this first term, and then maybe it will pick up again in the second term, and how is CapEx going to be? Thank you, Kaique. In terms of delinquency, as Eduardo mentioned, we actually observed a stronger impact, a stronger effect early on, mainly through two different reasons. Our collection stores and lottery houses, which had to shut down for a few days. Fortunately, the government soon decided they could open up again because they're ranked as essential services, and that was key for us. And also, considering the track record of our customers, we have a sound behavior. In the Northeast, of course, we are looking at, we don't want to reach negative levels or have negative delinquency. And we do not think that COVID-19 is going to change our culture. We, of course, are concerned with the income of the lower brackets, and the faster the economy comes back to normal, the better for this region. And we are looking at the, of course, official data and executive orders for 3 months. We believe there will be a stronger impact in the second quarter, and we expect to have an important recovery through the economy activation programs that are being designed by the Brazilian government right now. We expect to come back to normal after COVID-19 is under control. As far as investments, we have maintained our investment program, and we are also accelerating our investment program. We are a key player with the investments that we make into the concession areas. The Neoenergia group, well, there are 100,000 people that depend directly and indirectly on our activities, and through contractors and our primary employees, and we plan to continue with our investment plans. Evidently, if we perceive a stronger decline, stronger downturn for a longer period of time and a slower recovery curve, we might, yes, review part of our investment plan. However, we believe, as we have repeated time and again, that it will not be relevant, or significant or impactful, considering that we have high investment demands to promote network expansion, 244,000 new customers in 1 year compared to the first quarter in 2020 to the first Q 2019. This, in our view, is not going to change. People will, of course, continue building households and working and using electricity to conduct their daily activities.
Thank you very much for your answers.
To ask a question, please press star one.
The next question is from Carolina Carneiro, Credit Suisse.
Hello, everyone. I would like to ask one more question, if I may. It's about the regulatory framework and the executive orders, the ordinances, for example, the COVID panel that will be set up, and the media has, of course, been talking about different possibilities, claiming that this account will operate in a similar fashion as to what has already been created in the past, that it may be a sluggish process. Could you also tell us more about the account, which costs this account will cover, and why the details have not been disclosed to date? Thank you.
Thank you, Carolina, for your question. Well, allow me to begin by presenting a general analysis, and then I'll turn it over to our Vice CEO, Solange Ribeiro, who will talk about what's going on in the negotiations. As we said earlier, we are fully convinced and be rest assured that our distribution companies have their deals. They are regulated. They operate in regulated segment. We have faced crisis in the past. We had the FGTS crisis in 2015, the Social Security crisis, and those, of course, led to new solutions. We have, of course, different alternatives over time that have been designed. We have seeking to work with the government authorities, with ANEEL, the regulator, to obtain funding to continue supporting the electricity industry. Of course, this might come from the Treasury or from the BNDES. We might also bear in mind that the ICMS tax for low income and at the state level is also providing subsidies to the Treasury, and you have sectoral funds also for research and development that we might resort to, always seeking to reduce the impact on tariffs for consumers. It is key to have a joint effort in the electricity industry. Those who are in the free market now or who will migrate in the future, we should all work together and contribute to tackling the extraordinary impacts this health crisis, the pandemic 2019 is producing. I will turn it over to Solange Ribeiro now, who can elaborate further on our time frames. Hello, Carol. Thank you. Yes, along what Mario has just said, I would particularly say that the solution, well, will not stem from one single source. We will not have a silver bullet to tackle all of the issues that are at hand. But the executive order, this ordinance, has, well, made room for making things simple. It's something banks are familiar with, and this provisional measure, this executive order, will allow for financial operations to support our cash, as has happened before, and the financial operations can happen to also tariff charges as before. So we are looking at regulatory assets that might support this funding, looking at other regulatory assets. And it is a similar model to what has been adopted in the past. The timing, I believe that the timing will be defined, the timeline will be defined over the next 2 weeks. It's the overall crisis, but we have the right conditions to move forward, and the details of the executive order, the ordinance, will, of course, lay out what the particular challenges will be. And all in all, on one hand, we have the delinquency rates, and we, on the other hand, we'll have the assets, and you'll have to try and obtain a ratio to have liquidity. So that is one action. Mario has also talked about the economic side of things. That's another discussion. But this is what I can share now in terms of loans, something similar to what we have done in the past with a CR account. And by the next 2 weeks, it should be ready and disclosed. Thank you. Thank you, Solange. The Q&A session is adjourned. I will give the floor to Mr. Mario Ruiz Tagle for his final considerations. You have the floor, sir. I would like to thank you all once again. Thank you, operator. On slide 20, I would like to leave you with a positive message, reaffirming, of course, the commitment we have with all of our shareholders and stakeholders. We will act together to rise to the challenge. We are an integrated, solid company that is part of the Iberdrola Group. We're also, we have a workforce that is talented and fully committed and engaged to our growth and profitability goals. The electricity sector, so for this prompt recovery of the economy, and is acknowledged by its solid regulatory framework, which will therefore ensure that the extraordinary circumstances we're living in right now, fighting COVID-19, will be duly acknowledged, and if necessary, we will rebalance the financial economic balances in our construction projects. These are hard times. No one was prepared for such a situation, but we are convinced that in line with our principal values and commitment with generating value for our shareholders, we will, of course, see solid growth with the regulatory framework in our industry. We will rise to the crisis. We will continue operating with transmission projects and wind projects with solid perspective to deliver ahead of the deadlines and below cost, planned costs. And we will continue building and expanding our networks, improving our quality, and going digital
in the way we interact with our customers. You may rest assured that we are focusing on cash, net income, and cost discipline is something that is key for Neoenergia. Now more than ever, we will continue working together to produce a more effective, efficient group that will produce quality service to our customers. I would also like to express my gratitude to all of Neoenergia employees. Despite the challenges, they have played their role, a key role in helping Neoenergia reach the households of the 244 million people we serve every day. We believe in the future of Brazil and of Neoenergia. Crises bring about opportunities, and we are certainly going to seize them at Neoenergia. Together, we will overcome crises. Thank you very much. Stay home, and I wish you all an excellent day. The earnings call of Neoenergia is now adjourned. Thank you all for participating, and thank you for using Chorus Call.